Well, if you hadn't been a fan of the London Olympics before the weekend, you're surely converted now. Super Saturday started with two successive golds at Eton Dorney to cap the most successful Olympic rowing regatta for Great Britain and Northern Ireland. It ended with the nation enjoying its best ever athletic session at a Summer Games as three gold medals came in the space of just an hour. Andy Murray beat his demons yesterday, and Roger Federer to win the gold in the men's tennis. And then there was that men's 100-metre final last night. Usain Bolt confirming legendary status as the world's fastest human being. But what was your favourite moment of the weekend? Did anything bring a tear to your eye? Are you now a converted fan of the 2012 Olympics? Stephen Martin won the gold medal for hockey at the Seoul Games in 1988. Chris Akabusi got silver in the 4x400 metre relay at the 1984 Olympic Games. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Welcome to the
program.
We've also got Joel there, our own Joel Taggart. Hi, Joel.
I didn't win any medals.
Yeah, well, you're winning broadcasting medals, fella. You're doing a great job. Let's get your top points of the weekend, Stephen. What was your highlight?
I think to be honest with you, obviously from a Northern Ireland perspective, the medals for Coleraine, let's say, in the rowing were absolutely fantastic. But I think the improvement in track and field over the last 4 years have been immense. And just the general buzz around here. I mean, I think the target for GB in Beijing was to try and, you know, finish fourth or fifth in the medal table. And I think, you know, in London, they're certainly going to exceed that. So it's just been a marvellous weekend for anybody involved in Olympic sport, just to see, and it's really important for the hopes team to be doing well every day, and they've certainly been doing that.
So we're doing third place for Great Britain and Northern Ireland at this point with 16 goals. China has 30, United States 28, and the total of all of them, China 61, all the medals, United States 60, and Great Britain, Northern Ireland 37. Chris, what was your highlight of the weekend?
I mean, there was a 40-minute period in the Olympic Stadium that will be indelibly inked in my mind as one of the greatest nights, if not the greatest night in Olympic history, where Jessica Ennis, quite favoured, the poster girl of the Games as far as United Kingdom was concerned, crowned herself as the Olympic heptathlon champion, and the roar in the stadium was just awe-inspiring. Could have gone amiss, but one young man from Milton Keynes, Greg Rutherford, just jumped out of the sandpit, 8:31, a massive leap, stood there, arms aloft, and just rocked him, baby. But the last 1,000 metres of Mo Farah, I was in a stadium with the old sort of old hacks, media personnel like yourself and I. There were photographers there. They were crying and leaping and hugging and stuff as he just crossed the line, did his mobot. It was just incredible. You know, I couldn't believe it. I wanted to believe it. I embraced it. I was knocked out. A phenomenal 40 minutes of action.
Joel, I'm excited just listening to him.
it's been unbelievable, but it's quite right. I mean, and the thing about it is, it's generated such a feel good factor.
Hasn't
here.
Yeah.
And Chris is talking about, you know, the eruption inside the stadium. We had been working on Saturday. We had a program on Saturday afternoon. After it was finished, we went for something to eat in the big shopping centre that's beside the stadium here, and everywhere you look, there were people gathered around screens trying to see, you know, what was happening inside the stadium. It, not even did Jessica Ennis have to cross the line for the place to erupt. Every time you actually saw an image of her on a television screen, there was this almighty roar throughout the shopping centre. It was almost as if the shops had all decided, you know, to give everything away for free inside the shopping centre. It was just incredible. They were giving out the results on the tube trains and the underground on the way home, and there were these roars all over the trains whenever news was coming through. The drivers were reading out, you know, results. It's another goal for the British team. Here we go. This is who's won it this time, and roars all over the place. Everybody smiling at each other and even, you know, speaking to people they don't know, which in London, as many of our listeners will know, isn't necessarily the done thing. It's incredible to see it all unfold. But you're talking about moments that brought, maybe a tear to your eye. I mean, from a local point of view, there are two things that almost had me going, or maybe even did have me going at the weekend. One was those images, and you can see them on the BBC Sport website, of Sir Steve Redgrave grabbing Alan Campbell from the little pontoon when he came out of his skull on Friday when he won his medal, and getting him back up and getting him going again. Mm. I mean, he revealed to us on the programme on Saturday that actually at one stage they weren't going to let him go onto the podium to get his medal. And it was only when Sir Steve Redgrave found that out that he went down, he got him going again, he tried to get him mobile once more to make sure that he didn't miss that moment. And the other was Aileen Morrison, the Derry triathlete, who came off her bike during the cycle element of that race. She basically was wiped out. A couple of other competitors came off on a corner, took her down. A lot of those other competitors stayed down. Aileen Morrison got back up, back on the bicycle, wanted to complete it, wanted to make sure that her family got to see her crossing the line, because they had spent a lot of money to get across to see her. And, you know, she may not have won a medal, but I have to say, in a lot of people's eyes, and certainly in my eyes, when you take what people talk about, the true Olympic spirit, I mean, she was an Olympic hero at the weekend.
Do you know what I'd love to hear today? I'd love to hear from people who have been converted, people who are not big into sport, but they've been watching this and they do have a tear in their eye. They're up and shouting at the television screen. They've got their hands in the air. 08459 555 678. Let's get a call from you. Tell us what these moments mean for you, Chris, because they're so emotional. This is not just about sport. This is about what it is to be a human being.
Oh, absolutely right. I mean, it's pure drama, pure theatre. And actually, the Olympic ideal, it is about the human emotion, the human energy. It's also about the human endeavour and the uniting the people. You know what? In the Olympic movement, countries are almost at loggers and fighting politically, militarily, put down their ploughshares, put down their weapons, and come together in the spirit of humanity to deliver the peak performance in the arena. They climb Mount Olympus. The air is fresh and clean. Only one in every 22 million people get to go to Olympic Games as a performer. But we all get to participate as we look in awe and wonder at the best of humanity delivering in that arena.
And it says a lot, Stephen, doesn't it, about where British sports are at the minute?
It does indeed. I mean, I think when we won the right to bid for the Games, you know, the government, to be fair, put in £100 million per year for the six-year period. So it gave the host nation as big an opportunity as possible. And certainly from a Northern Ireland perspective, I mean, if you look over the next couple of days, there's a lot to look forward to in terms of the investment in Northern Ireland sport. Sports institutes, both North and South, working for Irish sports, because at the moment, you know, as you realise, with the Irish Olympic team here in London. And over the next 4 days, we've got four people sitting on a medal opportunity. And particularly of interest in Northern Ireland, in the boxing arena, Paddy Barnes and Michael Conlon will be going for medals in the next couple of days. And Ian Lures, of course, is competing in the men's team, in the British hockey team. So, you know, you need to invest in young people. You need to invest in people working with those people.
Is that the magic solution to all of this? Public funding will get you better results.
Well, you know, if you want to do things properly, you've got to invest in them.
Stick some money in, right, yeah. Sports. Let me take a call from Pat. We've got Pat in Lochgall. I'll bring you back in, Stephen. Okay. Good morning, Pat.
Morning.
How you doing? What was your weekend like with the Olympics?
Well, I have to say I enjoyed it. You know, sort of enjoyed sports I never thought I would enjoy, and sort of I'm concerned about maybe watching too much TV, but it's only for a fortnight. But the big moment for me wasn't sporting. And I don't like the man, and I've never liked his music. Was Paul McCartney's golden moment.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know whether you caught it or not.
Is it the bit where he was sort of rocking from side to side? That's the bit I saw.
Well, that's what rocking should be about. It's not about it often enough. No, that thing in the, what he called, you know, sort of when Danny Boyle brought him in for the opening thing and really set, you know, sort of the tone for a people's thing and people together enjoying themselves and celebrating together and celebrating the whole thing. And brought McCartney in, and the voice is gone, there's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
But chose Hey Jude, right?
I know it's great, but does he not do your head in, Paul McCartney?
Oh, he always has, but it succeeded, you know, sort of on that occasion at the Velodrome. Do you see, there was a thing going, the party was started, everybody, let's celebrate, and there was McCartney in the middle of it with his wee flag and his new woman. And the crowd, I seemed to be spontaneously... started singing "Hey Jude," and Boy Kearney was in the middle there to be there among the people for to celebrate with the, what he called, with everybody else. I thought McCartney was, it was probably the nicest thing that's ever happened to McCartney in his musical career.
Thank you very much, Pat. William, good morning. William from Belfast.
Good morning. This is called Overkill, 24-hour television, rolling television, Gary Lehner, Sue Barker, 24, pull out from the pages. When are you going to stop? And the last thing you need to do is sicken us all. And I'm sport-orientated. I'm glad. I'm cheered it on. But your film is 24 hours a day, plus, 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 plus. This is a way over the top. Totally over the top.
It's the Olympics.
It's the Olympics, but you need to be rational sometimes.
17 days of wall-to-wall sport. That's the point.
I've seen the one in Mexico in 68 where the near had a brain hemorrhage over the goal. Listen, cool it down. Don't sicken people. And everything's been covered. Everything's been said by paper, by television, and you should be doing a little different this morning. That's it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, William. He's gone now, Chris. He got off before I could bring you in to respond to him. I know you're a motivational speaker these days as well, so give him a bit of motivation there.
Well, no, I mean, the beauty of the world that we live in is that we've got a room for all the different voices, and his voice is very, very important, but it's a minor voice. And, you know, you have got to be able to celebrate the biggest pageant the world ever sees, and it's got to be on all the different mediums that he said. You know why? Because some people only have access to one of those mediums. And so whether you're someone who likes to read, whether you're like someone who is visual, wants to see on TV, or you want auditory, you want to hear it through radio, you get the opportunity to have a window of what's happening in the world. And right here, right now, the whole globe is focused on the capital of the United Kingdom, of United Kingdom, London, where they are, the world is conglomerated to celebrate the biggest passion ever seen. So yeah, he's right. It is wall to wall in all different mediums. That's because people need to access it the way that they want it to be accessible.
We've also got Jimmy Kirkwood. He won gold for hockey at the Seoul Games in 1988. Morning, Jimmy.
Good morning.
I'm a bit of a couch potato, but I've been watching this, and it's I'm an Olympian in my heart now.
Yes, you're a bit like myself. We're off for a couple of weeks, and I'm just trying to get the children budged from in front of the TV because there's always something on next. And you do tend to watch stuff at the Olympics, which ordinarily you just get up and go out and watch. But whenever you see two of the young girl winning judo silver and the emotion and the story she had to tell, as you say, you can't help be moved by people's personal stories. And you can just see that Alan Campbell, for example, I mean, he had put 4, 8 years, whatever, into that, probably a lot longer, and he hadn't left a thing in his body. And to me, it's raw emotion. It's everybody stripped down, and you can see the real person behind it all. I think it's fantastic.
And the South African competing on a prosthetic, extraordinary story of human triumph over what could have been a major setback in his life, and he's top of the world practically now, isn't he?
Well, he just didn't listen to people. He just got on with it and said, "You're not going to stop me doing this." And as you say, it's a tremendous story. And I think you could see how welcomed he was, if you like, at the end of the race, where people wanted to go across and shake his hand and say, "Well done." And I think there's a bit of that for everybody.
What are we saying about what the government should do afterwards to really develop this? How would you take this forward, Stephen?
Well, I think, as I said earlier, I mean, just to answer make a comment on the guy who was sick to death of the coverage. I think for Olympic sport, you get.
I blame Joel for that. That's all Joel's fault.
Your sport over this couple of weeks period, and you know, there's wall-to-wall coverage of soccer and rugby and various other sports when world championships are on, and generally they underperform. I think we should be celebrating success, and success has come about by investment, as I said earlier, and it's investing in the right sports, the right athletes, and the right people. And I think there's a better mindset now, and certainly this opportunity now should be used as a legacy to, you know, to kick on. There may not be the same amount of investment in for Rio, because obviously a huge amount more investment was put in because of the home games. But you know, again, it's just trying to have a look at being smart, and which sports do you think we can achieve in? Where are the opportunities to ensure, you know, the public can still see a real return on their investment?